Hey, it is Ryan Seacrest. There's something so thrilling about playing Chumba Casino. Maybe it's the simple reminder that with a little luck, anything is possible. ChumbaCasino.com has hundreds of social casino-style games to choose from with new game releases each week. Play for free anytime, anywhere for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Dad, I'm broke.
Hey, broke. I'm Dad.
Dad.
Okay, don't you have cash saved up from babysitting?
No, I spent it. I want my own bank account from S&T Bank. They offer free ATMs, Zelle, and an annual scholarship. Plus, when I open a Smart Start checking account, I get $100. See? I'm responsible.
Hey, responsible. I'm Dad.
Visit stbank.com/smartstart for details. Bonus available July 1st through September 30th, 2022. Opening deposit balance of $50 required. Member FDIC.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino online.
I was only playing for fun, so winning was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's favorite free online social casino. You, too, could have the chance to win life-changing cash prizes. Absolutely anybody could be like Mary. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and play for free now. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of the winner.
This episode is powered by Poddex. Poddex are unique interview questions and episode starting prompts in the palm of your hand. So whether you're a new podcaster or existing broadcaster looking to grow your audience and have more meaningful conversations, you're going to want to check out Poddex. Now, if you want to get 10% off your order right now, you can go to poddex.com and type in coupon code. What's the code?
Larry21.
Yes, that's the code. Check out poddex.com. Take your podcast to the next level.
Welcome to the True Crime Never Sleeps podcast. We dive into stories of true crime, from unsolved cold cases to historic kidnapping to gangsters and beyond. We are your source for true crime. We thank you for listening.
Welcome to the True Crime Never Sleeps podcast. I'm your host, Larry Leakes. Today on Murder Monday, we dive into the shocking murder of 8-year-old Maddie Clifton. But first, we'd like to thank our sponsor, Poddex, for sponsoring this episode. You can check them out today at poddex.com. Use the promo code Larry21 for 10% off your order. And now, without further ado, let's dive into today's topic. 8-year-old Maddie Clifton was a girl with a sweet smile and eyes full of life. She went missing one day while playing in the backyard. A frantic 911 call from her distressed mother to the police, the whole town in chaos. The entire nation praying for the girl's safe return. It was the evening of November 3rd, 1998. A typical day for the Clifton family, in times when children were allowed to play in their backyards, unattended without any fear. Maddie's mother, Sheila Clifton, called 911 and reported her daughter missing. People went on rallies to find the little girl who disappeared as if she had never existed. Little did they know, they would encounter the most disturbing case ever to exist. On June 17, 1990, Maddie Clifton was born in Jacksonville, Florida, where she lived with her parents and grandmother. On the day of the disappearance, she went to the backyard to play with other community children like any other day. While her parents were out at work, they had no idea their world would crash down in moments. That evening, when Sheila, Maddie's mother, got back from work, she found out that her daughter was missing. It was very unusual, as it had never happened before. The last house Maddie went to was her 14-year-old friend and neighbor, Joshua Earl Patrick Phillips. But no one knew where she went from there. Joshua and Maddie had been friends for a long time. When Maddie went missing, Joshua seemed to be deeply disturbed by the news and offered to help in any way he could. People went out to look for the little girl, and when the police could not gather enough evidence, the FBI got involved. But that did not help much either. Maddie's parents were desperate to find their daughter, so they announced a reward of $50,000 for whoever could give any details of Maddie's whereabouts. The reward was eventually raised to $100,000 when there was no positive response. Days turned whole week, but there was still no sign of the girl. While the whole town was in mourning, the police were also camping outside the Clifton house just in case they found something so they could further work on solving the mystery. Police found their first suspect, a 45-year-old neighbor of the Clifton family. His name was Larry Grisham, and he came under suspicion as he had already been under the allegation and charges of an assault. The Florida Times Reunion reported him saying, quote, "I'm a prime suspect. I'm 45 years old. I play with children, and I have a criminal record. That makes me a suspect." Even after taking a failed polygraph test, he was released from the charges because of a strong alibi. And the police were back to ground zero with the investigation. The little boy Joshua also spent more time with Clifton and helped the police with the investigation by cooperating in the interviews. Joshua was the son of Steve Phillips and Melissa Phillips, and they had moved to the neighborhood in the early 90s from Pennsylvania. 6 days had passed, but there were no outcome to any of the whole neighborhood and police efforts in the case. Almost a week after the disappearance, something unexpected and disturbing happened. While Sheila Clifton was giving an interview about her daughter's case, Melissa Phillips was at home cleaning her own house on any regular day. She noticed a red spot on the floor, which eventually led to her son's bedroom. When she searched a bit, she found out that her son had been part of something rather monstrous. She could not believe what she was seeing. She frantically ran out of the house to look for help and talk to the police who were present out of the Clifton house. At that moment, she knew none of their lives would be the same again. Under the bed of the 14-year-old Joshua was the dead body of poor Maddie. Everyone in the neighborhood went in a shock because they had never anticipated something like this. Even in the wildest of their dreams, the body was stacked under the waterbed of the boy and had been lying there lifeless for 6 days. The feet were taped to the floor and the head was smashed with something hard. This was not it. Maddie's throat was slashed open and she was stabbed many times in the chest with a knife. In the same room, during a thorough investigation after the encounter, the police found a baseball bat and a kitchen knife used to commit the horrible act. Joshua was arrested immediately, but the details were yet to be revealed. The autopsy revealed that Maddie had been hit in the head 2 to 3 times while she was stabbed in the chest with a knife 7 times. Some sources also claimed that the stabs were up to 11 times, if not more. Her throat was slashed open and the shorts she was wearing the day of her disappearance were gone, although there were no signs of assault. During the trial, Joshua confessed that he and Maddie were playing baseball that day while her parents were not at home. He also said that he was not allowed to have friends over to the house without the supervision of his parents. As they were playing, he accidentally hit Maddie with a baseball in the eye. She started to bleed and cry badly, so Joshua took her inside to calm her down. As he failed to do so, he was afraid that his father might come back home and would be furious if he came to know that he had brought her in without his father's permission. He further claimed that when he could not stop her from crying out of fear and panic, he hit her in the head with a baseball bat 3 times and dragged her body to the room, which might have caused the shorts to come off. He further added that he stashed her body under his waterbed, but she was still moaning out of pain when his father arrived. He then took a knife, stabbed her 7 times, and slashed her throat open so that she would not shout. The irony here is that she was alive all that time when people were out looking for her, and maybe she could have been saved if Joshua had told the truth in time, and didn't do such a hideous thing to hide his crime. While Joshua told everything to the court, no one believed him entirely, as his once statement contradicted the other. He claimed that Maddie's shorts came off when he was dragging her body from the ground to his room. It could not have been confirmed as there was no sign of dirt on Maddie's body. Also, there was no sign of them playing baseball or Maddie being hit in the eye with the ball. And all his confessions seemed to be well reversed and fabricated. The other possible conclusion seemed to be an assault, but nothing like that was revealed in the autopsy. But the police found something more disturbing during the extensive search of the room after his confessions. The room was stacked with air fresheners, which Joshua probably used to cover up the smell of Maddie's decomposing body. As he claimed that he piled the body under the waterbed as soon as he hit her, that led to the conclusion that he had been sleeping on the same bed for 6 days. Joshua's mother also said that she never found anything unusual in those days and had no idea what had happened. Even when Maddie went missing, the police interrogated Joshua in his room while he was sitting on the same bed, and no one had imagined what was about to open up in a few days. While going through Joshua's belongings, the police found a picture of Maddie's elder sister, 11-year-old Jesse. They also found a history of him watching adult videos on his computer. The disturbing fact here is that the videos were all about underage girls being tortured. Was Joshua telling the truth, or was it all pre-planned? This remains an unanswered question to date. If it was pre-planned or not, poor Maddie fell prey to a monster disguised as a friend. Despite being underage, Joshua was tried as an adult and was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. His psychologist later claimed that he was perfectly normal and had a hard childhood, as his father was abusive towards him and his mother. Nevertheless, the psychologist added that Joshua would never do anything like that again if he were released from prison. Another hearing in the case for resentencing Joshua was held in 2017. He was crying during the trial, but Judge Ronald Wallace resentenced him for life in prison. The case would be reopened in 2023 for another hearing after 25 years of his crime for the third time, depending on his behavior and rehabilitation status. Let us know your comments in the comment section below. Let us know your thoughts on Twitter at TrueCrimeNS, Facebook, or Instagram. As always, hit that like button, subscribe to the channel, and hit that bell notification button to be notified of future videos. Thank you so much for watching and listening. We will see you next time.
You have been listening to the True Crime Never Sleeps podcast. Thank you for listening. You can follow us on Facebook at True Crime Never Sleeps podcast and on Twitter at True Crime NS. And follow us on Instagram at True Crime Never Sleeps. Thanks for watching. If you want to support the show, buy us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/TCNN or become a patron at patreon.com/truecrimeneversleeps.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino online.
I was only playing for fun, so winning was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's favorite free online social casino. You too could have the chance to win life-changing cash prizes. Absolutely anybody could be like Mary. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumboCasino.com and play for free now. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of the winner.
Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order. Order in this courtroom. Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tangle apples, too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at SweetTango.com.